You can't cut any of this out, by the way.
No, of course I can. I fucking do the editing, so.
You should just start with that. Now. You should just start with that, where it's like, of course I can. I do the editing.
Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
My name is John.
How you doing today, John?
Doing pretty good.
Good deal.
It's
glad to see you made it back.
Yep. Big amount of distance traveled to get back here.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. We're going to be looking at the minute two of the 2021 Denis Villeneuve. I think I'm still saying that correctly.
My opinion hasn't changed.
Dune movie. This movie opens up with a sand dune with some weird red lens flares, and it ends with someone saying they became obscenely rich.
Are they red to you? Because to me, they're orange. Like, I specifically see orange in the little flares and stuff.
Okay, well, I saw a little red
in there. Are you colorblind?
I don't think so. I mean, you're looking at condo right now. I'm pretty sure I painted all these walls the same color.
Whatever you want to believe.
Okay. Well, that's thank you for opening up a new insecurity for me.
Yep, you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
That's something I will think about when I sleep tonight.
But yes, there is the sparkle of melange in the air. And I think, you know, last episode we were talking about cinematography and everything. I think what they did to portray spice in the atmosphere of Arrakis is just so cool. Obviously, it's not the first or it's not the last time we're going to see it here. And every time I see it, it's just the coolest thing to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pretty close to the books, too. This is exactly how Frank describes it in his books. Frank and I, we're on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly how he describes it, just, you know, rolling over the sand dunes in the desert. So, again, top marks for book accuracy on this one.
One thing that I really like... is so the unknown voice that you and I know as Chani's voice, but the unknown voice to the viewer, you know, talks about how my planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low. And she then goes on to say, you know, something to the effect of how you can see the spice in the air. As soon as she says that and immediately afterwards, the spice is more prominent for the viewer. And I think that's just like a cool little touch. So if you're looking for it, you see the spice initially, and then obviously it ramps up more and more.
Absolutely. I have in notes the thumper continues, still at the same 40 beats per minute as it was in the last minute. And then at the 13-second mark... I guess 1 minute, 13 seconds. We jump cut to a spice harvester. The first time that this happened, genuinely got a jump out of me, because it is such like I mean, that's why it is a jump cut, just from this like serene, wind blowing over the sands to this, just like, bam,
yeah,
you're right there at the spice harvester. And you see, just these folks walking in front of it, you know, we'll get to, you know, describing them in a little bit, but, it was a very startling jump to me, probably by design. I think that's exactly what he wanted.
That, and the first time you and I saw this movie, we saw it together in an IMAX theater.
Yep.
And it was our first movie that we had gone to in the post COVID world.
Oh my God. You're right. Yeah. Well, you're right.
Dune was the first movie that I went back to a theater to see.
Worth it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're here right now recording this. So, yeah, it was very worth it. It was the first, you know, in theater, big, you know, hard cut transition with theater sound and
the full like max bass
rumbling of the entire room. Yeah. And what a first, you know, cut back to the world of a theater to have, because yeah, there is the hard cut to the spice processing, and it is so jarring to the viewer because you're going from the natural state of the world to the industry of spice harvesting. The subtext is not very subtext in this movie when it comes to the relationship between man and nature.
Oh yeah, they're just fucking up the desert, man. a note that I had about this, the audio right here, is it sounded like when you, for the couple of seconds where you only hear the sand crawler and the harvester doing its thing, it almost sounded like they use the Sardaukar language or the throat singing as a part of that audio mix. I don't know if, did you pick any of that up?
I was just more focused on the cacophony of everything, honestly, but I'm sure it might be layered in. I'm also watching this from, you know, my basic home theater, not the full, you know, surround home theater that you've got here.
Oh, fair enough. So, you need to get some better stuff.
I've been thinking about it a lot, actually, and it's so expensive.
This episode brought to you by Sonos surround sound speakers.
Not actually sponsored, by the way.
No, not actually sponsored. But if they would like to send me some stuff, I would gladly take it.
I think it's a little too early to be making sponsorship jokes. I'm going to be honest with you, Zach.
All right. It's right after this that we see the first person in the movie. I noted it's just real dusty looking garb. Got some ponchos on. In my notes here, I put dusty garb, gun, big head.
Yes. I love the influence that even... All right. Alien came out in what, 1981, 82, something like
Alien
that?
Alien was after David... No, it was before David Lynch. David Lynch's Dune. So I think it was a couple years before. So yeah, 81, 82, something like that, yeah.
But even Alien was influenced by H.R. Giger's work. Of course. Point is that all these years later, H.R. Giger is still so important as an influential model for sci-fi and everything. I love how you see bits and pieces of him just in this first few minute here. And then obviously later on, we're going to see a lot more of that influence throughout this entire series.
Absolutely.
Big fan of all of his work.
So as we see this, this person marching in front of the sand harvester, just a small note, the thumper's beats per minute goes up to 100.
It does, and it gets louder as well.
Yep.
That was something that I noticed too. That moment where it increases is when you get that wider shot and you see just the scale. And if this movie does one thing incredibly well, it's just showing the scale of everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because humans are so small in this whole universe.
Yeah. I have that same note, just sense of scale, mm-hmm. In here. And well, I will wax poetically about this later on as we start to, you know, look at more of the, you know, scenes in space and how those, you know, translate into like landfall on the ships and everything. But yeah, absolutely. The sense of scale is something that was a major negative for the Lynch movie. They never really nailed that sense of scale.
Yeah.
That was described in the books pretty well. They never really did it in the old one. So I was super, super happy to hear and see.
Yeah.
That they were actually able to, you know, to convey that sense of scale out through the movie.
Well, you not only have, you know, the size of humans compared to the harvester, but then the harvester compared to the dropships that are carrying the harvesters. Because in that first shot, you have the harvester on the ground. You have two people in the foreground with, you know, a staff that has the lantern, but then on the, with the harvester on the ground, you can see people closer to it to see how small they are. And then in the background, there's a cutout in the dust cloud where you see another harvester being lifted. So it's, I love it. It's such a awesome shot. I'm going to say that a lot throughout all of this because, unsurprisingly, there are a lot of awesome shots in this whole movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So this the scene of the harvester and carryall cuts over to a man looking through the gun, and there is a girl with him. That was what my notes says.
My notes are just Jameis Chani and the boys.
We don't know who these people are yet.
Yeah, but I know who these people are. So
yes, we get so for our first view at characters that we will know as Jameis, Chani, and the boy.
The boys.
The boys.
The boys TM. It's, if I remember correctly, too, at this point, the thumping is getting faster and louder.
It is.
Especially as it focuses in on Chani's face. You can really get a sense of the anger and resentment that all of these desert dwellers have towards these, as they are described, foreigners that are stealing their spice.
So right after this, we cut to those said foreigners some marching folks dressed in black. The thumper is up to 170 beats per minute at this point. It has risen from the 100 from a couple of seconds ago. And we hear those same djembe drums.
First of all, love how, you know, unadapted to the desert, the invading occupation of the Harkonnens are. But I also just love how blind they are to being attacked in that moment. It really shows the mastery that that the natives have over their own land.
Yeah, I think the actual attack happens in the next minute, just a couple seconds from now. Did I get my notes wrong?
Yep, you got your notes wrong.
Okay, cool. Cut this out. Cut out the part where I look like an idiot.
Actually, you know what? I'm dumb.
Ah, leave it in. Shit. So from here, yeah, we see the Harkonnens. They're marching up. But your point about them being like underprepared is absolutely correct, because they are walking out into the desert to look over, or at least in the city of Arakeen. They're walking out on this this like balcony overlooking the where the spice harvesters are kept. There's this grid like structure next to them where it's the spice silos, and you can see they're all full. I mean, this is kind of like their production ground, I guess. But the folks who walk out on this balcony. It does not look, you know, they're not wearing any kind of head coverings, and they're all bald. And as a fellow bald man, that is a bad mix.
Look, I'm pale and I'm afraid of the sun, but these guys are a whole new level of pale.
Yeah, they don't do, you don't do that. You got to wear something, but you know,
get some SPF, man.
There's a mix of just no head coverings, or we see just like the full regalia of the hoods and everything. But yeah, it just the fact that there's no consistency lets me, you know, think that these people are not from here. They're not native to the planet.
No. Well, also the eyes, but we'll get to the eyes later on.
It is right here where we do get the first mention of the Harkonnens, lovingly called the Outsiders. The disembodied voice of Chani mentions that the Harkonnens have ruled long before I was born. We learn later that it's something close to 80 years they've been on the planet.
It's a long time. Yeah, you can hear and feel the resentment in her voice. Rightly so. I would not be happy if someone showed up on my front lawn either, let alone my front planet.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, and then they say here to close out the minutes, by controlling the spice production, they have become obscenely rich.
Some Jeff Bezos shit for real?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how rich, but I guess we'll never know.
And I don't know. All of their you know, BDSM gear probably costs a lot of money. Like, you know, that whip that who we know as Rabin, it's probably not cheap.
Probably not cheap. No, probably not at all. So, yeah, that's all I had for this minute. Anything else on your notes?
Not really. Once again, we're, you know, we're in the second minute of the film. We're building worlds. We're, you know, just
deep in the exposition right now.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on action wise, but honestly, there's plenty of time for that later on.
Yeah, and I will say, for those who have not watched the 1984 David Lynch Dune, I do highly recommend it. My personal opinion on the movie is that it is a terrible movie, but I love it so much. It is one of the best bad movies I've ever seen. Might just be because I'm a big fan of Dune, and I think any kind of adaptation from this universe is probably going to be something that I enjoy. But it is objectively a rough movie to get through.
That's a great movie to watch if you want to take a nap, though.
Sure. The beginning of that movie has about 40 minutes of exposition that you have to get through from a person who has no introduction other than the subtitles, I guess.
Yep.
And then you maybe see that person one more time in the movie an hour in. They're just like hurried off the set. So I think they're doing a lot better job here.
There's a lot of hurrying people off on sets in that movie. But we're not here to talk about that one.
No. Okay, cool. Well, John, what would you rate this minute?
I would give this probably 2.5 or 3 Shai Huluds out of 10 Shai Huluds. We're building on our world, but we're still building on our world here. So there's a lot of amazing shots, but in the grand scheme of things, the shots here are still only showing a taste of what's to come later on.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Yeah, 2.5, 3. I mean, we're introduced to a lot more of the world, as you said. So it can only go up. All right, cool. Well, you want to do this tomorrow?
Sure. I guess I'll make a drive across town again.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see you then.